Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Imagine Air Supply being backed by Metallica. This is Wretched Radio, and this is not the way I actually intended to begin what I hope will be so helpful for you if you struggle with assurance, knowing that you are God's child. It is a malady. It perplexes many. And there's a booklet called Resting in God's Salvation by William P. Smith. Yeah, we do have it at the Fortis Institute store that I believe will help you. And I want to talk about that book. But first, music and lyrics. I wanted to play Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, because it's about assurance. See how clever we are here at Wretched Radio? And so I go to the YouTube machine. I put in Blessed Assurance. And it looks like there's a contemporary version. And I have not listened to this, but I thought we would give it a go to see if the music matched the lyrics. Because it should. There are just some songs that require a certain style of music. Otherwise, they contradict one another. I mean, you got Air Supply singing, I'm all out of love. You go, they aren't really matching there. And I think the same thing is true when it comes to hymnology. And incidentally, if you're not listening to Dr. John Krotz, his podcast, Integrating Faith with Life from Head to Heart. He just did his take on worship. John Krotz, he is such a nice guy. John Krotz, and I didn't know this, but it appears he has a sarcastic bone in his body. Jimmy, do you remember the way that he began the worship? You're so overwhelmed with podcasts, I'll bet you don't remember anything anymore.
I do not.
Okay. So he began by saying, we're going to talk about a sub. He's so nice. We're going to talk about a subject today that probably isn't worth discussing because everybody has complete agreement on worship. That's sarcasm. Because it is probably the most contentious subject in most churches. It's a big deal. And he stretched me a little bit on some of it, and I'm still chewing on it. But he did a super fine job of identifying all of the different genres and that we should be willing to accept other. You know, you, for instance, you rightly so like the classic hymns, you know, the Wesley, the Watts type hymns. But there's a group of people, they dig the Southern gospel style. And it might not be your style, but it doesn't have to be for your preference. Is it biblical? And the issue that I always look out for is it as exalting as it can be? Whatever the genre is, are we doing it in a way that speaks well of God? Are we doing it in a way that says, God is otherly, even if that means doing it with bagpipes? No, you can't do it with bagpipes. The point is, whatever instrument it is, does it sound otherly? Does it sound like we're singing about somebody other than, I don't know, our girlfriend? Because music matters. And John said something. Jimmy, you tell me if you agree with this. Because we've seen the emotional manipulation that comes from worship and, you know, the moodiness and the lights and the fog and the synthesizer thing. And we've all got our eyes closed and it kind of gets you into the mood. And we've seen that abuse. And that is why when John started talking about it's okay that music actually supports and perhaps enhances your emotions, because his premise was, worship is emotional. It's not just cognitive. Now, it needs to start cognitively, in other words, with facts, but those bites of truth should stir and they should move us and we should respond to God. And how do we see that response expressed in the Old Testament? It ain't It ain't stodgy. It's super expressive. Hands raised, sometimes dancing with instrumentation. These were joyful songs unto the Lord. Why? Because their affections had been stirred by the truth. And now here was the interesting thing that John said. And the music, I'm not talking about the lyrics, the music can help that. That's interesting. Maybe the next time I get to see John, we'll be talking about that, because I'd like to dive into that a little deeper, because that challenges me, because I've seen the abuses of emotional manipulation when it comes to musical presentation inside of the church, and I just have an allergy toward it. And he used movies as an example. He said, think of, I don't know if he was citing a study or somebody did this on the internet, but a movie scene that was like, oh, that just makes me cry every single time. Okay, it's like a Jane Austen movie. Every time you see it, it makes you cry. At least it does that to my wife. The point is, strip the music from it, and it's maybe not as emotional. Because the music can inform, enhance, support your emotions. And worship is intended to be a cognitively informed, emotional response to God's glory. Jimmy, what do you think about being okay with music moving you?
I don't have a problem with that at all. I think it's actually biblical.
In what? Okay, so I'm not talking about the lyrics.
Yeah, no.
Talking about the music.
Right, right. I think, again, David did it, what was it, 1 Samuel? He played the harp to soothe.
To soothe them?
Yeah.
So it does have an impact, but...
So I think it's biblical. I don't think it's... It's definitely not emotional manipulation, or it shouldn't be used for emotional manipulation. So we should definitely be very discerning. But I think it does have a place for sure.
All right. I just had a thought, and please, you can do with this thought as you see fit, because it's just that, a thought. While Jimmy was talking, I went to look up I Can Only Imagine, the song by Mercy Me. I don't know why, but it came to mind as one of those songs where, come on, it moves you, doesn't it? I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side, what my eyes would see, what your face is before me. I can only imagine. Now, that's great, true. That's like, okay, I'm thinking about what it is going to be like to see the face of God. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think my body is just going to do whatever it does, because it is going to be the most awesome experience of anybody's life ever. And I don't care whatever the whoop-de-doo is that you... I landed on the moon. Yeah, I get to see the face of God. Boom! There's your moon Trump card. I don't mean that politically. Your little moon Trump card. I just trumped your Trump card, because I get to see the face of God. What is that going to be like? Now, does music enhance that, move me more? I think it does, doesn't it? All right, I could read all of the lyrics and you're going to go, yeah, that's good. But if I could sing and I could sing it, it would be better, wouldn't it? It might stir you and move you more. But what then if I added instrumentation that enhanced that? Is that necessarily a bad thing? Please note, this is, I got to tell you, I just love the fellows that are a part of Fortis Institute, because they produce content like this. And it wasn't wild. It wasn't saying, hey, let's become seeker sensitive and let's dim the lights and do the whoop-de-doo on stage. No, it wasn't even remotely close to that. But he was making a compelling case that good instrumentation, which we see in the Psalms, it can actually help us to worship more emotively. Are you allergic to emotions? Are you so perhaps scalded from your former exclusively emotional experience that you had in church that you're afraid of it? Or you've seen the emotional abuse that goes on in so many of these wildly popular mega church fiestas that they do, and you go, hold on a second, let's not get carried away with the feelings here. Is it possible that maybe we're missing something here? Okay, here's the song that I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Behold Our God, that California Baptist University Choir. It was about a decade ago. They sang Behold Our God. It was at a Christmas concert. Wow. Man, Scylla, that just... It just got a little thing in my throat, a popcorn hole, apparently, because is that so bad? And maybe, just maybe, this provides a segue back to our subject, the subject of assurance. Is it possible that your feelings are driving your lack of assurance? And maybe one of the antidotes to that is to let yourself have other feelings. Feelings like you are a child of God. If you are born again, you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ. You are adopted into the family of God. You are a member of his eternal kingdom. You will get to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Are you scared to feel good about that? Are you afraid to let yourself go, wow, I'm actually in? If you're still confused about that, a book titled Resting in God's Salvation by William P. Smith, the subject assurance, we hope will help you next on Wretched Radio.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless. Raised on unfiltered entertainment and endless online content, Gen Z is facing unprecedented challenges with loneliness and depression. But there is hope. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson.
We want to be the biblical ideal of being a man, which means that we want to be loving, patient, kind, and we want to exercise humble leadership.
As Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, and it's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about Dr. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood, and all of our other content.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive-By Marriage completely free at fortisplus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive-By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage-building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit fortisplus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive-By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to fortisplus.org right now. It's Drive-By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, now we have two songs to review. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy threw a... Oh, you know that I can't resist Behold Our God from the California Baptist University. It's just so moving. The question that was raised by Dr. John Crotz in his integrated podcast, which you can find at fortisplus.org or wherever you do your downloading business, asking the question. No, he wasn't asking it. He seemed like he was comfortable with this. And increasingly, as I think about it, I'm comfortable with it too. Instrumentation can enhance our emotive response to God. I know that makes you twitch. No, that's musical manipulation. It can be that. There's no question about it. If you go to some of these contemporary worship songwriting festivals that they do, they teach you how to manipulate the crowd. Oh, Jimmy, you're going to love this. Oh, who was telling me this? Oh, I think I'll leave his name out so that this doesn't find its way back to the original source. But the story was a professor was going to preach at a church, and the worship leader walked off the platform and said to the man who is now about to preach the word of God, ready for this? Got him worshiped up for you. Oh, man. Now, that is a case of using music to manipulate. But that's a line. On the other side is using music to actually enhance and to help us worship more effusively. I'll say it, more emotively. And as I think about the instrumentation that we see in the Old Testament, what's the purpose of that? What are those instruments doing? Does somebody blasting on a trumpet contribute to is he worshiping? And the answer is yes. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Clash your cymbals. That's offering worship. You're not using lyrics. You're not using the words and of your mouth. You're using instruments to make a beautiful sound for the Lord. And that actually enhances worship. Isn't that the point? One of the points of worship, by the way. What are we commanded to do? We're commanded to encourage one another by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you hear me sing, and after you're done cringing, it should encourage you. Somebody else is singing to the Lord. Somebody else loves Jesus Christ. Look at that guy. Oh, man, he just got laid off, and look at him sing to the Lord. I am so encouraged by that. Your singing enhances my worship. Why can't instruments do that very thing? And so Jimmy adds Behold Our God as an example of that, which you know that I can't resist playing, Jimmy, because I think this is an instance where, and by the way, what you're about to hear from CBU, the kids, 18 to 22 year olds, they're the orchestra. It sounds seriously, this sounds like an amazing production. It's live. It's in some church someplace with an orchestra from CBU and kids singing. And the instrumentation, the voices, amazing. The instrumentation, so moving. And isn't that okay?
Yeah.
Well, enough of that.
No.
Just kidding. So let me tell you why I'm thinking John Kratz increasingly is right with this. The instrumentation that you're hearing behind these voices, who's producing it? Human beings, image bearers. What are they presenting here? They're attempting, and it is an honest attempt, to present worship that is worthy of the Lord. And one of the, when you consider lyrics, it's poetry. So we're using language which no other creature can use. They don't talk. They don't write anything. And they certainly don't write poetry. Poetry is a higher form, perhaps the highest form of human expression. But then you embellish that with music and it becomes a sweet incense. It's like, hey, this is all the stuff you've made us to be able to do. Chimpanzees ain't playing the trombone anytime soon, but we do, and we can, and we're going to blast it for you in a way that speaks well of you. And if that makes sense to you, it seems that we can draw the conclusion, therefore, it is okay to let the music help you to feel your worship. Twist.
Before our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come let us adore him.
What a sweet sound in the Lord's ear. Lyrics and music. All right, here's the other song. Jimmy, you be the judge. Do these go together? This is Blessed Assurance. When you think Blessed Assurance, give me the sound. What's the music that you hear?
Piano.
Yep.
Maybe an organ.
Maybe.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. All right, well, now this appears to be a contemporary version. Let's see if the music and the lyrics are compatible. Oh, it's jazzy bluesy. Please, 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 whatever you do, madam, don't sing it sexy, please.
Sing all my testimony tonight.
Good, she's not. Have you ever heard that? We got to just mold our way through this.
Jesus is mine. Yes, he is. And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
All right, Jimmy, does that work for you?
Yeah, it does.
Is it your cup of tea?
Probably not, but
doesn't have to be though,
nope,
does it?
Nope.
I don't have to like the genre. If it is an actual attempt not to manipulate and not to, you know, that emotive singing, feeling the presence. But you're worshiping the Lord and the music is at least reverential and it's being done as well as you can. And it's not contrary to the lyrics. Like, you know, Metallica playing backup for Air Supply. Hold on, that's just kind of... But this seems to go together okay.
Oh, oh, oh. Ear of salvation.
Sing it to me, yeah.
The purchase of God.
Get a little emotive there.
Born of His Spirit.
In a wife.
And I'm washed in His blood.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Friel, you're playing the song about assurance. We ever gonna get to it? We will next on Wretched Radio.